something for the weekend on Ireland's Classic Hits. I don't even need to introduce you to our next guest because all I need to do is play this. It's haunting you, Niamh. It's absolutely haunting you. Niamh Kavanagh's on the line. Hello.
Hi, Tina. How are you? Well, it's 30 years next year. Like, I mean, to be honest with you.
That song's never going to go away. Sure it's not.
I know. Well, that, I have to be grateful for that, don't I? Like, yeah. I mean, you know, it's kind of nice that it's all kind of what you want it to be, you know what I mean? So that's it. Yeah, it's great.
When I was in first year in school, it was 1993. I'm giving away my age now. And you had just won the Eurovision and we were all auditioning for the school choir because it was such a big event. You had to audition, uh-huh. right? You had to be a pretty decent singer to get in because they used to do all competitions and everything.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't have been a person now that would have sang in public at all. Like, I just did not do it. I got up on the stage in school in front of everybody and I belted out In Your Eyes as my audition song.
I feel like I enabled you there. That's amazing.
Yeah. So, but you see, the only problem is, you see, I thought that I had the same range as you have. And then I got to the high note and you can imagine how that went. Poor old Mr. Quigley, the music teacher, I think his ears were bleeding that day. But he let me into the choir, but just, you know, doing the lower parts of the register.
You found your true voice, Trina.
Oh, that's it. Oh my God, yeah. I don't know what I was thinking. I think everybody thought that they could be Niamh Kavanagh.
Sometimes Niamh Kavanagh can't be Niamh Kavanagh on a good day. You know what I mean? It has to be in the whole year.
Have you ever had those moments, actually, Niamh, when you couldn't go, you were like, oh God, this note is coming up and I'm not going to make it?
It's like, I think of those notes, you know, the ones that I did at a magic moment at 2 o'clock in the morning in the studio, you know, those hysterics, as I call them at the end. And the thing about it is, I think about those notes and as I'm approaching them, I think about my dogs a lot. And I know that sounds weird, but you know, sometimes you call your dogs and you don't always know whether they're going to come or not. Mm-hmm. So essentially, I'm kind of looking at these notes going, I won't know till I'm right there whether they're going to come, but I'm not going to think about it because otherwise they may not. Just because
hoping
I'm saying
for the
that.
Best. Do you know what's really funny? Just there a second ago, you had a northern accent.
Yes,
isn't
I know.
That mad? You're losing a bit of your dub.
I know. I live in Carrickfergus and I have done for 24 years now. And, you know, husbands for you, they drag you out all sorts of places. And the thing is, the last couple of years, I haven't been in Dublin as much as I should have been, you know, just refreshing. Because of the COVID situation, I was up here and nothing but northern accents around me. So there's little lilt in some of the things that I say, but yeah. No, I'm still a true dub.
So Niamh, what are your kids called? What are the boys' names?
Okay, there's Jack. Jack is 21 and then Tom is 19. So
okay, so we'll go
now.
We'll go for Tom, the young one, right? What I need you to do is say, Tom, get in for your dinner.
Tom, come in, your dinner's poured.
See, she's still a true dub at heart.
I'm still there, don't worry.
Oh, she's still there. Listen to me, Niamh. It's been a really mad couple of years for musicians. Yeah, and I know it's been hard for you as well, because I know a few years ago your husband had a stroke as well. How's he doing?
Oh, he's great. He has what they call aphasia. We were very lucky in some ways because physically, although he had tiredness and some weakness afterwards, that all kind of came back. And, you know, so he wasn't necessarily massively impacted by the physical side, but he has what they call aphasia, which is where he's gaps in his speech. So it was quite an education for both of us, you know, to kind of figure out how to help him through that. And no, he's back working. He's doing everything. Yeah. He plays guitar and all that. I mean, there's still gaps. But, you know, my feeling is, you know, he's 65. He could have those gaps for any reason. You know, you know, it's not just the stroke. So we're very lucky. He's in good form. The last couple of years have been very strange. We're not going to lie about that. I went from, you know, traveling 30,000-40,000 miles a year in my car to literally doing less than 2,000 miles in 1 year. That's never happened. You know, so yeah, it was very, very hard. Very hard not to be able to go and do what I do. But then we weren't the only ones who were like that. You know, everybody was affected, you know, by the fact their lives were curtailed by this strange thing that happened, you know. So
was it panic stations though when it came to, because you're so used to doing gigs for financial reasons as well as everything else?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't. I mean, we were comfortable enough. And after Paul's stroke, I made sure we were a good year ahead of our bills, because you don't realise how vulnerable you are until you're there at the precipice, really. It only takes a couple of paychecks, really, to get you into a bad space. And as a self-employed person, you kind of get used to running the highs and the lows of when you get paid. But I saw that literally my entire year's work was disappearing between Leo and Boris setting up on the you know, the podium and saying, like, that's it, we're done. So my son, youngest son, Tom, he was looking online and discovered that Tesco were looking for people. So I went and worked there with him for a couple of months and we had a great time. Yeah. I mean, he pretended he didn't know me because that's what the 18-year-old or 17-year-old then wants to be showing that that's my ma over there. But I did it. I went and worked for about 6 months and I really loved it. It was a great way to fill my time because actually the biggest problem I had wasn't so much financial. It's the fact that I'm used to being, you know, useful and busy. And
busy all the time,
Yeah, it would have been very, very difficult. Now, I know people did, I did some work online and I still did quite a bit of work with people, but it was difficult to get the same feeling from it than you would, you know, after working in a live environment for nearly 34 years at the time. So, you know, I'm 36 years gigging live now, and the last 2 years were definitely the strangest 2 years I've ever had. But, you know, we survived it. We're out the other side, and I kept myself busy and looked up my focus. And then out of the blue, I got a call from Gerald Peregrine about the COVID Care mobile music machine kind of concert that they were doing. And I absolutely loved it. I loved the concept because when I was growing up, we would have sung in the house a lot, you know, and all generations were involved in that. So it feels like going back to where I started, really, in some sense, when I go in to perform in different places.
So, you know, Niamh, you're not the only singer then in the family, are you not? When it came to growing up?
No, my dad, okay. My dad's a great singer. And then actually all my sisters can sing, and believe it or not, my mother can sing, but she never does it in front of us. So that's the holy grail. We're still waiting for her to perform her Singing in the Rain in front of us all, but apparently she has to be drunk enough and we haven't seen that yet.
You'll catch her unaware one of these days.
Yeah.
Do you know what it always amazes me, actually, just looking back at, you know, the footage from all those years ago, from 1993. I mean, you're only a young one at the time. There wasn't any nerves on show at all. Were you nervous?
I was nervous afterwards. I always got a kind of, I get the rush of nerves afterwards. So I get it's like the adrenaline rush afterwards. But you are nervous. You obviously want to do a good job. I love singing so much. And actually, when you do the rehearsals, you do 3 or 4 of the actual show. So by the time it comes to it, you're kind of on the stage before you realize it's even happening. Because you go through the same process 3 or 4 times before you actually do the show. Mm. So it's kind of, I don't know that I wasn't nervous. Of course, I was a bit nervous, but there was a lot of love in that room for me. I mean, I was the local girl. And the other big thing is it wouldn't have mattered if we'd won or not, because we'd won the year before and all I needed to do was sing well. So there was a lot of pressure off me in that sense, you know, because we hadn't started winning like mad at that time.
Linda Martin was the year before you. Then it was you. And then it was Charlie McGettigan and Paul Harrington the year after, wasn't it?
That's right.
Then we had a year gap, I think, didn't we? And then it was Ian McQuinn. Yeah. God, crazy,
I know, but then the year gap then had Norway win with Secret Garden, but then Fionnuala Sherry was involved in that, and Fionnuala is Irish.
Right, so we've won every year. Well, we'll take that.
I'm going for that.
Yeah. Well, the COVID Care concerts, Niamh, you're going to have to explain this to me, because there is a special gala concert on at the National Concert Hall on Wednesday, which is the 15th of June. What is this now?
Oh, it's a wonderful thing, actually. It's a celebration, really. It all starts with Gerald Peregrine and a group of people who got together and really started this initiative where they would go in and play in care homes and care facilities during COVID. It gave musicians work, but it also helped maybe the most vulnerable people who were left most alone during that period because they couldn't have people come in. And so they played outside, they did all these things. So this concert, this gala concert, basically features most of the musicians that were involved in this. It's a huge undertaking. I mean, I take my hat off to the wonderful Gerald, who did a fantastic job organising it. It's very life-affirming to be involved in it. There are like 20 odd performing on the night, actually singing. So we're all getting one song each and that's your lot.
I was going to say, how would you get more than that in?
I know it, and it's amazing because like myself and then of course the wonderful Mary Coughlin, and we have Jerry Fish, Red Hurley. I mean, there's such a broad section of people. You have, you know, Sean Keane, Desco. I mean, we're so across the way. You know, there's musicians like John Spillane and Professor Luke O'Neill is involved in Ian McQuinn. I mean, there's a whole gang of us involved in it. And what we do is we go and do, we've all done a week or two here and there, just going into places, playing with musicians and really loving it. And Gerald and the lovely Linda O'Connor, they're phenomenal musicians. And what we have is a very joyful kind of experience. And there's a whole orchestra involved. And nearly all of the musicians have been involved in this over the last 2 years. And it's still going on, because I still believe, and as does Gerald, that it really needs to continue, because, you know, live music is such a wonderful lift to yourself and to people in general. And so if you're in a facility, you don't get the opportunity to really go out and, you know, see great live music. I mean, it literally takes 40 minutes of our time going in to see them. So it is joyful for everybody involved to be involved.
So this is not a concert just for health workers. This is for everyone who wants to go. You can buy your tickets. And I'm intrigued that Professor Luke O'Neill is on the list, though. What's he going to be doing?
Well, he's going to sing. Sing and play.
No, I never knew that.
I tell you, if you haven't got a ticket already, you really should have.
And you know, there's nothing like a live orchestra either, should there not? Like, it's just, yeah, fantastic.
Definitely my favourite.
Seeing as Luke O'Neill is going to be up there singing, I think that you should get me up to do In Your Eyes.
I was actually just thinking that when you said that. I'm going to ring Gerald now when I get off home here. I'm going to tell him I have a candidate In Your Eyes. Put it this way, trainer. If you're not on that concert doing it, I'm definitely going to hunt you down for one of them. I can't wait.
I shouldn't
for that.
Open my mouth. I could be your understudy. If anything happens to Niamh, I'm in there, but I can't guarantee those high notes. That's for sure.
No, but I have a red wig you can wear, and that'll be enough.
Well, listen, you can get your tickets. The website is covidcareconcerts.com, or you can also get them on nch.ie, which is the National Concert Hall. Niamh Kavanagh, absolute legend. We'll leave you with this. Oh, it's never going to go away. Thanks, Niamh. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
It is Something for the Weekend on Ireland's Classic Hits.